How can you know for sure that you're safe? The answer to that and other questions on Key Light.
Hi, I'm Mike Kellogg, and you are now listening to Key Life, where you can find honest answers to honest questions about God's Word. Now, here is Steve.
Thanks, Mike. My pastor, Pete Alvinson, has come in, as he does on Fridays, except on those rare occasions when it's impossible, but I do appreciate your doing it.
Hey, right. Good to be here. How you doing?
I'm doing good, as a matter of fact. He comes in and we answer questions on Friday, and I answer some questions on Wednesday, and then if I do something really bad, he'll straighten me out on Friday. We love to get your questions, by the way, but you do have to write them down. Send them to Key Life, Post Office Box 5000, Maitland, Florida, 32794, or Key Life Canada, Post Office Box 32150, Cambridge, Ontario, N3H5M3, or you can email us at steve@keylife.org. Be sure and give us your regular mailing address if you want a response. And by the way, you ought to check out our webpage. It is just dynamite. We're making changes on it every day, and we are really investing a lot of time, and a lot of gifted people are working to do that. I think you'll like some of the things you'll find on our webpage. It's just www.keylife.org. And by the way, don't use the 1-800 number for questions. You can become a part of our Key Life Tape family, get the lots of free material that we love to send to you, or you can make a contribution. But you got to write your question out, and we love to get your questions. Pete, why don't you lead us in prayer, and then we'll get to some of these questions.
All right. Father, we're glad to be in your presence. Thank you for being with us all week. Thank you, Father, that you are so good and that you are the Father who looks after us, who protects us, who provides for us. And Lord, we have so much to be thankful for. Lord, we pause now to listen and to think and to deal with some questions that, Lord, we ask that you would use to shape our lives. And Father, we know that our lives are different because of Christ. And we pray that all that would play out into the way that we live and the way we think and the things that we do. And yet, thank you, Lord, for the reality that no matter what we do, we're still yours and we always will be. Thank you that we're held in your hands. And Lord, we look forward to worship on Sunday to proclaim with everybody else who loves you, your greatness and your goodness and the salvation that we have in Christ and all the grace that's been heaped on us. And so be with our leaders, Lord. Be with our priests and our pastors, teachers, pastor wives, families, Lord, those who are on the front lines, kind of very exposed and visible, Lord, encourage them and give them the words to say and help them to love your people. Father, we do thank you for this ministry and how all of us have been touched by Key Life and Steve's ministry. Thank you for uniquely gifting him. We pray that you'd keep him strong and use this ministry to reach others. Free up your people. Free up your church. That we could be bold and joyful and dance so that others could see the joy that we have in Christ and that they would want it too. And then we could tell them. Father, we commit this ministry to you. And now our time of question and answers, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. This is from Texas, Pete. How do we know for sure that we're saved?
Well, I think you could ask yourself a few questions. Do you tithe? Do you go to church regularly?
That's right.
Do you carry the Bible?
You sent a lot of money to Key Life.
Have you sent money to Key Life? And have you tried really hard?
That's right. How many people have you led to Christ?
That's right.
That's right.
I think those questions are some of the initial
Listen,
things.
People don't ever know when we're joking. Now, you know, that there's a reformed way, and then there are a couple of ways that people do that. The perseverance thing,
mm-hmm.
That we are assured as we persevere, mm-hmm. and
That's
the
right.
Holy Spirit perseveres in us.
Yeah.
And there's something to that, don't you think?
Definitely. I think there's times I look back, and I should have given up back there, and I didn't. Why not?
And so when you see that, that you get assurance.
Mm-hmm.
And then there are others that say, you remember the day when you were saved from your perspective, mm-hmm. and you prayed a sinner's prayer or went forward at a Graham crusade or... With a friend, you just said, I want that in my life. And you made a commitment or you accepted the gift, remember that day. Mm-hmm. Don't ever let anybody rip that out of you. Remember that day. There's something to that, too.
Yeah. You know, some have made that into a form of legalism. You got to remember.
Yeah.
But you're right. You look back and you say, I took God at His word on March 13th or whatever.
Yeah.
And it's true.
And I agree with you. I think that legalism is, I mean, you know, Mrs. Graham doesn't know the day she was saved. And I hope I'm not misquoting her, but I think I heard her say that one time. Mm-hmm. And so you can't be legalistic about it, but it's good. And if you have a doubt and you don't have a date, make today the date. Just say, Lord, I know I'm saved. I know I belong to you. Uh-huh. I see my life changing, but I didn't go forward or anything. So right now, you know I'm a sinner, and I know I'm a sinner, and I need Christ's vicarious atonement to cover for my sins, and you offer that to me, and I accept it right now on this day.
That's right.
And make that your day if you want to. You know something I've thought, and have taught this some too, is that that you can be assured that you're saved by whether or not you want to please God.
Mm-hmm.
Whether or not you do.
That's why I was going to get back to this, the whole issue of tithing and all that kind of stuff. Because there is a sense.
Yeah, when you want to do that.
When you want to do that stuff. Not because you got it, they get him to accept you. But
and sometimes you don't.
Yeah.
But that the desire, mm-hmm. because that desire doesn't come from just any place.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's from the Holy Spirit in you. And as you see in yourself, people are always saying to me, Steve, you're giving people permission to sin, and I'm not.
No.
But I always say I've never met a Christian, a real Christian, man or woman, boy or girl, who didn't want to be better than they were and want to please God more than they do.
Yeah.
And if you want that, where'd you get that?
Yeah.
And so that's a place of assurance.
It's a love thing. When you realize how much you've been loved, you want to love back.
That's so true.
Good
stuff. All right, this is from North Carolina. How does God speak to us? Do we actually hear a voice, or is it just through the Bible?
Well, He definitely speaks to us through the Bible. And
mainly through the Bible.
And mainly through the Bible. But the Holy Spirit is in us, and this actually even can go back onto the last question. The Spirit of God bears witness in our heart that we are the children of God. There is a sense in which, you know, the still, small voice of God, if we will pause in our times of prayer, if we will just wait and listen, God does form His will in our hearts and minds.
Yeah.
And it's as if He spoke. I've never heard it audibly. Have you?
No.
You know, and I often kid about that to our people. I say, if you heard the voice of God, I want to see you in my office.
But have you ever met somebody that did and you really trusted them?
Yeah.
Yeah, me too. I used to have an old elder, an old swabby. And he was Manfred George Gutsky was preaching in our church. And he was not a Christian. He was an usher, but he wasn't a Christian. He went back and he had a Bible, and he said, Lord, unless you say something to me, I'm throwing this Bible away. I ain't doing this anymore. And God spoke to him, and every time he tells that, he weeps.
Yeah.
So, you know, God's not, you know, if God wants to talk, He doesn't check with us about it.
That's right. Don't say He can't. Don't expect that He will. I do have problems with some of those evangelists
who
get
too.
On TV.
Oh, they drive me crazy.
And they say, you know, God told me, I was talking, you know, and it's like, man, that's so close to blasphemy.
I saw on television where a guy put his hand on somebody's head and looked up and said, yes. And I want to go, I wouldn't do that in a thunderstorm
if
I were you.
I mean, that just trivializes.
Oh, I just want to die. God speaks through our brothers and sisters in Christ.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's a lady that came up after church a few weeks ago and said, I want to tell you, and I think God told me this, God loves you and He's got a plan for you.
Oh.
And I kind of went, she said, and it's a really good plan. And I just kind of had that sense, this was a God thing.
Yeah.
And because she had no reason to do that, as far as I know, no motivation. She wasn't trying to get anything.
You know, I've got a friend in North Carolina who knows how I feel about God told me to tell you kind of thing. So she just doesn't want to get into that. She didn't want to tick me off, and I love her a lot. And she gave me a letter one time, and she said, I don't know where this came from. It's probably from me, but I really want you to read this. And if it works for you, it's cool. If it doesn't, that's cool, too. You know, it really was. Hmm. It was a God thing. As you say.
So the communion of saints kind of works into this whole issue, and God, definitely God ministers. We're all priests and ministers.
That's right.
So,
what about circumstances?
Yeah, definitely. They're a little harder to interpret. They need sort of the information of the word and advice, but yeah, I think He does get our attention through circumstances.
Or sometimes, absolutely. You know, I sing in our church choir, and somebody say, you ever going to sing a solo? And I say, no, God told me I'm not to sing a solo. and they think I've gotten this voice from God, but the truth is I can't sing. So if you can't
sing, I don't know.
I thought I was wonderful. With about 45 or 50 others, but
that
was a fun time. But I can't sing solos because I don't have that gift, and it's obvious to anybody who's ever listened to me sing. And so God's will is that I not sing solos.
Yeah, and he didn't need to tell you that. I mean, it's just sort of he hadn't gifted
right.
you in that area.
Through circumstances, right. he led. Well, those are some of the ways that God leads. This from Texas. Somebody says, what do you mean when you say that God doesn't check our purity level?
What do you mean?
I don't know. I don't even remember saying that. Yeah, I do. I say that a lot. You know, most Christians I have found really think that God says, stay away from me unless you're going to do it. I have a dear friend who was saying to his granddaughter the other day, she said, Granddaddy, I'm so sorry. And he said, sorry doesn't cut it.
Ooh.
And he said, well, you know, we've all probably said that
one time
or another. That means you got to. And then he thought, good heavens, what am I teaching my granddaughter? And he said, he went to her and said, honey, sorry cuts it. I love you. That's okay. And we think that God says, sorry, doesn't cut it. So if we're not doing everything we're supposed to do, and a lot of prayer lives are just messed up because people are afraid to go to God, I messed it up again, and he's going to be mad at me again. And so what I'm saying when I say God doesn't check your purity level is that you haven't surprised him about anything. Mm. He knows the bad. He knows the stuff he's doing good in your life. And you don't have to not go to him because of that. He doesn't say, well, before you speak, let me see if you're doing this and this and this. And if you're not, then get out of my sight. I don't want to see you. Cry, will you? I'll give you something to cry about. God's not that way.
Yeah, I mean, think about that. When I drive home today and I see my kids right away, before I relate to them, am I going to think about how pure and good and wonderful they are or how bad they are? No. I'm just going to relate to them as my kids.
That's right. That's exactly. And that's what I'm saying. And so.
Well, that's good. I like that.
You know,
I might use that.
Yeah. You know, in old-time Presbyterian churches, they used to have communion tokens where the elders checked everybody's purity level, and if it didn't come up to a certain level, you couldn't take communion.
Oh, man. And they give you a token?
Yeah. I've got some of them from the Irish Presbyterian Church. From back a century that somebody gave me, and they're called communion admission tokens, and you that got you into communion. I always found the worst sinners and said, you need communion bad.
I've never seen it. I never even heard of that, but I know that the elders do.
It's
have
the fencing of the table thing a little bit,
table. And I do that, but not that same.
Not that way. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Good stuff, Pete. Man, I love you, brother, and I appreciate you coming in.
Great to
be. I like you. Guys, we're out of here. Whenever you write or call, always give us the call letters of this great station. And, of course, Key Life is a production of Key Life Network.